Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
What's up? How's our smoky day going? Yeah? I woke up this morning and I thought someone was like burning incense in the lodge. Turns out there's a fire in Canada. Crazy. All right. So, first question this evening. We're going to have a few. They might be a little bit more involved, so I need you to pay attention. I need you to hang in there. All right. Question of the day. I need you to write down the names of three people that you don't know that have an influence on your life. Three people that you don't know personally that have an influence on your life. So it can be a YouTuber, it can be an influencer on Instagram or TikTok, it could be even like a pastor or an athlete or a musician or an actor, but they have to genuinely have an influence on your life. So go ahead and write three of those names down. When you have three, share it with your neighbor. How we doing? We got them? Three people? Who's got their three people? Raise your hand when you've got your three people. We're still going? You can't think of three people that have influence over your life? Three people that you listen to. Like you watch them on YouTube, you watch them on Instagram, you got one? Name one of them. Who you got? Jesse James West. That's a YouTuber? What does he talk about? Tennis? Fitness, bodybuilder, yes. That's a good one. What you got? Justin Bieber, yes. See, it's not that hard. Justin Bieber has influence over your life because you listen to his songs. What you got back there? Way back. Who? JB? This JP? You're talking about Jonathan Pecluda? Are you talking about Jonathan Pecluda? Yeah. That's a pastor. You maybe have seen him on Instagram. Who else? Who you got? Yeah, go ahead. LeBron James. Anyone else got a good one? Yep. Who? Bethany Hamilton. Is she the surfer? Yep, soul surfer girl. Yep. What you got? Bryce Crawford. Yeah, MMA guy, right? Is that right? Oh, Christian. Yes. Yes. I was thinking Bryce Mitchell. I'm like, you should not be listening to that guy. But Bryce Crawford, he's awesome. He's like doing street evangelism and stuff. Yeah. What you got? Jalen Williams from the Thunder. Caleb Williams. Yeah, that's my guy. Caleb Williams. Yes. Go Bears. Go Bears. All right. We're going to move on because there's a second half to the question. We're good. Second half of the question. The second half of the question is name three people in your life that you actually know that have influence on you. Three people in your life that you actually know that have influence on you. So those can be parents, friends, pastors, stuff like that. Go ahead and write them down. Three people. All right, we don't need to name these. I think I'm probably going to be able to guess most of them. Parents, friends, pastors. What'd you say? Yeah. Me? Yeah. Guys, there are people in all of our lives. Every sphere of life that we go into, there are people that have influence over our lives. Whether it's YouTube, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, whether it's at home or at school or on teams, there are people that have influence on our lives, and we imitate and we follow those people. And Paul is going to talk a little bit about that in this passage. So let's read chapter 3, verse 17 through 4:1. So Philippians 3:17 through 4:1. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. with minds set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. But the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. All right, so Paul is talking about two ways to live in this verse. He's talking about two ways to live. We can live as citizens of earth, or we can live as citizens of heaven. Those are our two options. So after encouraging us to press on in the previous passage, Paul now answers, what kind of people should we follow as we do? As we press on in this life, pursuing Christ, what kind of people should we follow? So our big idea tonight is live as citizens of heaven while you eagerly await your King. Live today as citizens of heaven while you eagerly await your King. And point number one is choose your examples carefully. Choose your examples carefully. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. That's what Paul is saying. And he gives them two commands. He says, join in imitating me. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on faithful examples. The Christian life is not just taught, it's also caught. You can know all the good spiritual things. You can know the whole Bible. You can know it front to back. But if you don't have faithful Christians in your life who are examples to you, it's going to be hard to catch those habits. It's going to be hard to know what it looks like to put the interests of others ahead of our own. It's going to be hard to walk this life without examples. But fortunately, we have examples. We have an example here in Paul. And he's not being arrogant. He's inviting the church to follow him because he is following Christ. Paul's inviting us to follow him because he's following Christ's example. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 11:1. Don't have to turn there. But he says, so whether you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So guys, as we look at that list that we just made of people who have influence in our lives, we want to see which of those people are imitating Christ. Who of those people are worth following, are worth imitating? We need to look for someone who exudes the qualities that we've looked at this week. They do nothing out of selfish ambition. They put the interests of others ahead of their own. They walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. They stand firm in the gospel. They defend the gospel. They show us the qualities of Christ. And like I said, we are all imitating someone. We are all imitating parents, friends, coaches, teammates, YouTubers, Instagrammers. We are imitating all different kinds of people. So are you being discipled by Caleb Williams or Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce? Are you being discipled by Joe Rogan or LeBron James? Who's discipling you? Who are you imitating? Who is pouring into you on a daily basis? When you pull up, I don't know if you guys are big YouTubers, when you pull up YouTube, what pops up first? What's the first video you click? And you make sure you watch their video every single day. Who is pouring into you? We get to choose who influence us. We get to choose the YouTubers we watch. We get to choose the Instagram accounts to follow. We get to choose who influences us, and most of us pick random people. Most of us pick people who don't love Jesus, who don't show us the qualities of Christ. Guys, I encourage you to find someone in your church that you want to be like and ask them to disciple you. Find someone in your life that you're like, that person, that's who I want to be in 10, 15, 20 years. And just ask them to hang out. Ask them to pour into you. And if you don't know someone like that, you don't know someone you want to be like, then ask a pastor or a youth pastor to find someone for you. If you don't have a pastor or a youth pastor, ask your cabin leader to help you find a church. Find someone that's worth imitating. Find someone that's worth having them pour into you. So when you get home, first take a shower. I walked out and I walked back in, and it smells so bad in here. I don't know if you guys realize that. Who hasn't showered all week? Don't raise your hand. I'm sure that, oh, that's not true. That's not true. But guys, so when you get home, take a shower. Then take a nap. Then find someone who's worth following and follow them. When you get home, take a shower, take a nap, and find someone who's worth following. At church this Sunday, look for someone at church that you want to be like. Look for someone who shows you who Christ is, who puts others first, who stands firm in the gospel. So we need to choose our examples carefully. That's point number one. Point number two, recognize the danger of earthly-minded living. Recognize the danger of earthly-minded living. So Paul's tone changes drastically here. He says, "For many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." Paul says, "I tell you even with tears." He isn't angry. He's heartbroken. People that he knows and loves that are enemies of the cross of Christ. These verses describe people whose lives reject Jesus. These people are the exact opposite of Paul's example. And many of us follow these people every single day. We let them shape the way we think and act, but their aim in life is completely different than ours. Guys, it's okay, and it is even good to hang out with unbelievers, to have them in your life. But we need to stand on guard and make sure we are keeping our eyes on those who imitate Christ. So as we go in this life, as we show the world who Jesus is, hang out with unbelievers, but make sure we are watching the believers in our lives who are examples of Christ and that we are imitating them. Paul gives four descriptions of those who are walking as enemies of the cross. He says their end is destruction. Without Christ, the end is judgment. Earthly mindedness, thinking of earthly things, leads to destruction and separation from God. When you choose to worship yourself, God lets you be with yourself forever, separated from him. And this probably shocked the Philippians because Paul was talking about people that they knew and loved. But he said their God is their belly. Their appetites and desires rule them. And Paul is not merely speaking about hunger, about the pleasures of the stomach. He's saying that the desire in general has become their master. Bodily desires and pleasure had taken place of God in their lives. Paul is warning us to be aware of any pleasure that might get in the way of a passionate pursuit of Christ. Any pleasure. That can be anything. That can be obsession with food, sex. Could be obsession with even a YouTuber, even fitness. Anything that takes the place of Christ can get in the way of a passionate pursuit of him. Those things aren't bad in and of themselves when done in ways that glorify Christ. Paul's warning us to be aware of any pleasures that might get in the way of our walk with Jesus. And these people, they glory in what should shame them. Sin has become something to celebrate in their lives. They love celebrating their sins, talking about their sins, parading their sins around. Things that should shame us have become things that we celebrate. And their minds are set on earthly things. Their priorities are stuck here on earth. Everything they do is governed by sin. And these people are dead. Look at Ephesians 2. If you want to flip there, you can. If not, that's fine. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Guys, every person who's ever lived has at one point been dead in their sin, dead in their trespasses, following the course of this world, following earthly things, governed by our sin. But if you're a follower of Jesus, this next part is what happened to you. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Guys, people who love the world are dead in their sins. But we are alive. We have been made alive together with Christ. And we need to follow other people who've been made alive together with Christ. So point number one was choose your examples carefully. Point number two was recognize the danger of earthly-minded living. And point number three is remember where your true citizenship lies. Remember where your true citizenship lies. This is one of the greatest identity passages in the whole New Testament. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's what Paul is saying. If you are a believer, your citizenship is in heaven. And we talked about this briefly, but Philippi is a Roman colony, and people were all about Rome. They loved Rome. They cared deeply about their citizenship as Romans. And Paul is saying, your deepest identity is not Rome. Your deepest identity is Christ. Guys, your deepest identity is not American. Your deepest identity is in heaven. Your deepest identity is not Basque. Your deepest identity is heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This is what it means to be citizens of heaven. That no matter where you go on earth, you're an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is someone who represents their home country in a different country. That's what you are. As a Christian, as a citizen of heaven, you are an ambassador on earth. You're an ambassador on earth, and you're supposed to speak of heavenly things. You're supposed to speak of what Jesus has done and invite other people to be citizens of heaven. Imagine living as an ambassador in another country. You enjoy where you live. You care for the people around you. You serve faithfully, but you ultimately never forget your allegiance. Your allegiance is to God. Your allegiance is to Christ. Paul says that's the Christian life. We live here. We love people here. We serve faithfully here, but our King is coming, and our true citizenship is in heaven. Christians represent Jesus wherever he has placed them. And today was the perfect theme day. I know it's like Jersey Day, right? Or I'm not Thuggin' Thursday. Yeah, whatever it is, that's fine. Jersey Day. It's Jersey Day. Guys, what does a jersey do? It shows you that I am loyal to someone. I'm loyal to Michael Jordan. I would never wear a LeBron James jersey. You will never catch me dead in a LeBron James jersey. But you guys can know from the things I've worn this week what I identify with. You know that. I proudly wear this Bulls jersey. I proudly wwear Bulls stuff, Cardinals hats. I proudly wore the U.S. soccer crest on my head, even though we got stomped last week, because I identify with that team. I love those teams. That's what it's like to be a Christian. We represent Jesus wherever we go. It's just like wearing his jersey everywhere we go. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from heaven our King is coming. This verse says, from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian hope isn't escaping earth, it's welcoming the return of Jesus. And when Christ returns, our bodies will be transformed. Paul doesn't promise temporary relief, he promises complete renewal. And Jesus' resurrection guarantees ours. Jesus has a resurrected body, and so will we. And he can do this because he has absolute authority, like this passage says. He has authority over death. And because of that, he can raise our dead bodies and make them new. The same power that rules all things will transform his people. The one we await is fully able to accomplish what he has promised. And he's promised us a world without pain, without tears, without mourning. And he will do that. He will make that happen. So choose your examples carefully. Recognize the danger of earthly-minded living. Remember where your true citizenship lies. And then our last point, stand firm because your future is secure. So chapter 4 begins with therefore, and everything flows from the hope of Christ's return. So he talks about Christ's return, and then he says, therefore, and he piles up these terms of affection for the church in Philippi. My brothers whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. And he wants them to know how much they mean to him as he encourages them to stand firm in the Lord. He wants them to run hard after Christ. We don't stand firm because life is easy. We stand firm because Jesus ultimately wins. Paul wants the church to imitate believers so we can recognize the dangers of earthly-minded living and remember where our citizenship truly lies, so that we will stand firm in the Lord until we are with him forever. Jesus perfectly embodied heavenly citizenship while on earth. He perfectly embodied what it meant to be a citizen of heaven. His values were never shaped by worldly priorities. He never did a single thing out of selfish ambition. He always put the interests of others ahead of his own. He obeyed the Father. He endured the cross. And he was exalted above every name, like we saw in Philippians 2. And now he reigns as the returning king who will transform his people to look more like him. Our hope is not simply that we get to go to heaven. It is that Christ will return and make us like himself. So 5 questions tonight as you go. 5 questions. I'm going to throw them up on the screen so we don't lose them. Question number 1. Who are you currently following? Do you have those questions? Yeah, perfect. Who are you currently following? Who are you letting pour into your life? What YouTubers? What Instagrammers? Who are you letting affect your thoughts and your feelings? Is it some random person, or is it someone that you know and trust? You trust their character. So who are you currently following? Question number 2. Who is it that you would like to follow when you get home? Who is it that you would like to follow when you get home? Can you throw that one up there? So who are you currently following? Who is someone that you would like to follow when you get home? So you might already know the name of a person that you really look up to, whether they're in your church or it's a coach or a teacher. Write that name down. If you don't yet know, when you get home, start looking. Start asking your parents, start asking pastors to point you to someone who's going to make you more like Christ. Question number three, what captures your attention? If someone observed your week, would they conclude your mind is mostly set on earthly things or heavenly things? What do you find yourself doing? What do you find yourself thinking about? What do you find yourself talking about? Is it heavenly things or is it earthly things? What captures your attention? Question number four, where do you find your identity? Do you find it in sports, popularity, family, relationships, achievements, or do you find it in Christ? Is being a citizen of heaven your number one marker of your identity? And then last question, are you eagerly waiting for Jesus? Does your life reflect the hope that Jesus is returning? Does your life reflect the hope that Jesus is returning? Paul doesn't describe reluctant waiting. He describes an eagerly waiting for Christ. So does your life reflect that hope? Are you so convinced that Jesus is coming back that you tell anyone and everyone about him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for examples to follow, examples like Paul, examples like my dad, people in our lives, youth pastors, people who love you and want to be more like you. Lord, I pray that you would put someone in each and every one of our lives who shows us what it's like to be a citizen of heaven. Lord, I pray that we would think much, much more about heavenly things than about earthly things. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.